Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and we are jumping in to our India broadcast. Here we go. All right. Hallelujah.
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 I'm
sending you a text. Is there a way to raise up the computer so I can see more of the folks that are there?
Is it okay? A little bit?
A little bit higher would be better. If we can go just a little bit higher. Because I can't see anybody. And I like to see their lovely faces. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, and then tilt, then tilt up just a touch, just right there. Perfect.
Standing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too bad you can't set it down right there because that's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can't.
Don't have that much bigger place. If we'll keep like this, then people cannot see you.
Ah.
I'm covering.
All right. Well, go ahead then. Go ahead and put it down.
Yes, sir.
I'll just close my eyes. And I'll just imagine the crowd. I'll just kind of imagine that there's people there. Hallelujah.
Now it's a little bit okay.
That's better. And not that I don't like to see Purin and Moses, who I love to look at. Hello, gentlemen. Nice to see you. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Well, thank you all so much for coming out tonight. And I want to thank our pastor for opening us with a word of prayer. And I want to thank Moses for doing our translation tonight.
Thank you, sir.
You're supposed to say that to the crowd, Moses. I want to tell you about how God miraculously saved my life. This is what I looked like in July, actually 6 years ago today. I was involved in a catastrophic car accident. My daughter Jackie and I were driving in this car. And we impacted a truck, this truck, at 88 kilometers per hour. The man in this truck pulled across the highway and the road that you see behind here and blocked our path. My daughter Jackie was driving the vehicle. And she turned the vehicle slightly to the right, and she hit the right passenger door on the driver's side. The impact was so severe that it knocked the cab off the frame. Because she turned the vehicle, the damage happened on the driver's side of the car. This is the vehicle that we were in, and I was sitting in the passenger seat when the impact happened.
Please,
the damage caused the driver's side to be smashed in on top of her. And the tools out of the back of the truck came through the windshield. So I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat in order to protect her. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise him. And so this is the interior of the vehicle. If you look closely at the picture, you can see that there's blood all over the steering wheel and blood all over the dash. There's also blood on the seat. And my daughter Jackie was covered in my blood. I heard the Holy Spirit say to protect Jackie and release the seatbelt. And so I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat in order to try to save her life. This is a picture of me when I arrived at the hospital. When I arrived at the hospital, they gave me a 2% chance to survive. They had called my wife and my family and told them to rush to the hospital, but they did not believe that I would live. But my wife is a woman of great faith. And she immediately began to pray.
Hello, sir.
Hello?
Hello.
And my wife is a woman of great faith, and she immediately began to pray. And this is the scripture that God gave her. Beginning at Psalm chapter 3. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again. Because the Lord sustains me, I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so the picture that you see here is a picture of my face. The plastic is on my nose. My face was literally torn off, and the flesh was torn from my skull. If you look closely, you can see that there's actually a piece of bone missing next to my eye. They sewed my face back on, and the picture that you see to the right shows a tube going in my nose. That's how they fed me. And the tube going into my mouth is how I was breathing. And so here you see a picture of how they had to sew my face back on. In fact, I met one of the surgeons that sewed this flap back underneath my eye. Six years ago today, this event took place. And from July 6th until July 11th, over 5 days, I had 17 surgeries. And between dying once at the scene, I died 3 more times during those surgeries. So altogether, I died 4 times. In addition to the damage that I did to my face, I broke the base of my skull and I broke my neck. I also broke my back in 3 places between T1 and T5. You can see the fractures as you look at these X-rays. Here's a picture of the scar on my back where they performed the surgery. When the tools came through the windshield, I knocked them down with my hands until they hurt so bad I couldn't hit the tools anymore. Those tools that came through the windshield would have killed my daughter.
ਔਰ ਜੇ ਉਹ ਲੋਹੇ ਦੇ ਉਜਾਰ ਮੇਰੀ ਬੇਟੀ ਨੂੰ ਵੱਜਦੇ ਤੇ
But here you can see pictures and x-rays showing that my hands and my wrists were broken by those tools as I knocked them down. In addition to that, I also broke my pelvis and my hip and my right and my left femur. In the first picture, the red circle shows you the area where the femur was broken. So they had to use screws and a rod in order to put my left femur back onto the hip. In addition to this damage, I also had a compound fracture of the tibia and the fibula on that same leg. A compound fracture means that both bones punctured and went through the skin. So at one point, all four of the bones were sticking out. The second picture gives you an idea of how complete and total the breaks were in both bones. And so they had to put a rod in and reconfigure the bones. Now they told me that my left leg, the one that you've just seen, that's my good leg. I'll explain why here. You see, I crushed the bottom of my right knee and the right tibia. In fact, I crushed them so severely that they had to use something called bone glue in order to put things back together. But I didn't just crush the bone, I also destroyed the artery, the main artery going to the bottom half of my leg. And I severed all of the nerves below my right knee as well. So they had to use this plate and screws to try to put the top of the tibia back together, and they had to harvest an artery from my groin. In order to hold my leg still, they had to put these halos in on both legs. In looking at the picture on the upper left, as well as the picture below that, you can see that I was wrapped up from head to toe. The swelling became so severe in my right leg that they had to do something called a fasciotomy. The fasciotomy is where they cut the leg open in order to pull all the excess fluid out. And so here's a video of when they come in and they do what they refer to as the changing out of that sponge and tube. This is me talking with the doctor. And that's an actual picture of what it looked like when they were changing out the sponge and the tube. And there you can see how they'd begun to try to sew the leg back together. And so here's the progression. I spent 6 weeks in intensive care. On life support, with them feeding me and breathing for me. The second picture is the very first time that I ever sat up, and you can see that I still have the tracheotomy where they're breathing for me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then the third picture, they had begun to remove the tubes and they had determined that I would live. And in the final picture, you see my daughter Jackie has come to visit me. But I had to wear the neck brace because of the fact that I had broken my neck. This next video shows the very first time that I was ever allowed to go to my house after 3 months. And here I am rolling up the ramp that was created so that I could get into my house. You'll notice that my right leg is wrapped up and I cannot put any weight on it. I can't touch it even to the ground. And my daughter Colin is the one who, my other daughter Colin is the one who's pushing me up the ramp.
Yeah. ਮੇਰੀ ਕੁਰਸੀ ਨੂੰ ਧੱਕਾ ਦੇ ਕੇ ਧੱਕਾ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਆ ਰਹੀ ਆ
You can barely see her, but she's behind me, pushing me and the chair up the ramp. And you can hear everybody is excited at my house for me to be coming home. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This next video shows a little bit of the progression as I was getting better and starting to be able to do some exercising. This machine allowed me to be able to move both my arms and my legs. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this is a picture of my family, the Christmas, right after I had arrived home. The picture of the bruise on my arm is because my arm got caught by the seatbelt. And this is me and my precious wife, Patricia, who prayed diligently and was with me the entire time I was in the hospital. And then finally, here's a picture of me with my Congressman Chip Roy and Congressman Jim Jordan. Now, I have many people that ask me, how was your daughter Jackie? And I'm happy to report that just over a year ago, my daughter Jackie got married, and I got the opportunity to walk her down the aisle. Hallelujah. In addition to that, I then turned around and performed her wedding ceremony. And there's a picture of me with my lovely family as we celebrated Jackie's wedding and celebrated the victory of me being able to be there. Hallelujah! And so here I am today, and I'm able to be here with you. I'd like to tell you about the God that brought me back from the dead. He's a great and mighty and awesome God. How many of you would like to hear about the God that brought me back from the dead?
ਦੋਨੇ ਹੱਥ ਉਡਾ ਕੇ ਹਾਲੇਲੂਯਾ
ਬੱਚੇ ਦੋਨੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਆ ਜਾਓ
I want to tell you about how he makes himself known to us. And I want to tell you about how much he loves you. How many of you have heard of the name Jesus Christ? And how many of you have wondered why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross? And perhaps maybe you've also wondered, who is this God and how do we know that he's real? So I want to take you through a couple of things to talk about how God reveals himself and why Jesus Christ went to the cross. The first thing I want to tell you is there's three ways in which God reveals himself to us. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's three ways. Now, I want you to take just a moment and I want you to look up to the sky. I know there's some bright lights around you, but can you see any stars up there? And do you see the moon that's up there? No moon. All right, we'll stick with the stars. I want to tell you that God reveals himself by showing us creation. Now, I know that there are members of the scientific community that want to tell us that this all happened by just some explosion. So let's very quickly have a practical conversation about that. Years ago, I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to do some ministry with some people from southern India that lived in the city where I lived. And whenever we would have our services afterwards, we would have a wonderful meal.
Oh,
And they cooked delicious food. And I learned that whenever a guest comes to the home, there's always a wonderful meal prepared. So I want you to imagine that you are having a guest coming to your home and you're going to prepare such a meal. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm a pretty good cook. And so you're... And so you prepare this wonderful meal. And so your guest arrives, and when your guest arrives, you bring the meal out and place it on the table. And they dish themselves up a plate and they begin to eat. And they say, this is good. This is good. Turn to your neighbor and say, see, I told you I was a good cook. And so after they finish eating, they set the plate down and they turn to you and they say, look, you must have had an explosion in your kitchen and all this food landed on the plates. And you would look at them pretty funny, wouldn't you? And you would say, no, I made this food. And they would say, no, you didn't make this food. There was an explosion in their kitchen. And they would get up and they would walk into your kitchen to look. And of course, they would realize once they got there that, yes, you did make the food. In the same way, we can look around and discover that it's pretty obvious that there was a creator that created everything we can see. And so the first way that God reveals himself is in creation.
ਔਰ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਟੀਕਾ ਖੁਦਾ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਦਾਂ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰਦਾ ਬੜਾ ਇਸ ਬਣਾਈ ਹੋਈ ਸ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟੀ ਦੇ ਦੁਆਰਾ।
Turn to your neighbor and say, the first thing he told us is he created this. The second way that God reveals himself is that he's the giver of life. The word tells us that he knew us even before we entered our mother's womb. I want you to take a deep breath. The Bible tells us that it is God who breathes the breath of life into us and then deposits a part of his spirit in us so we can have life. But let's say that we're still scratching our head about creation and about breath and the spirit giving us life. He also gives us the key to being able to believe his word. And the key is called faith. And the Word of God says that unto every man is given a measure of faith. So we begin by understanding creation, his spirit and his breath, and the faith that he's given us to believe the first two. But now we have to ask the question, why did he have to send his son, Jesus Christ? Why did Jesus willingly sacrifice himself at the cross? And for that, we need to go back to our homes once again. Imagine now you're in your kitchen and you're preparing dinner. And the kids are very hungry. And there's a jar sitting on the counter that has chocolate chip cookies in it. I want to ask the kids a question. How many of you like chocolate chip cookies?
Chocolate.
It looks like everybody likes chocolate chip cookies. And so you're busy cooking the dinner, and the kids see the cookies, and they say, "Can't we have a cookie?" And you say, "No, you have to have your dinner before you get a cookie." Parents, I want you to say this with me. You have to have dinner first. And so now you have to leave the kitchen to go do a chore. And while you're out of the kitchen, the kids come in and they see the food's not ready, but they see the cookies in the jar. Now they know they're not supposed to take a cookie, but boy, those cookies look awfully inviting. And they sure are hungry. And so they take one cookie out and they close the jar and then they run out of the kitchen. And so now you come back into the kitchen and you call them and you say, "Dinner is ready," and you serve them their dinner. And they say, "You know, Mommy and Daddy, I'm not really that hungry anymore." And you look at them and you say, "But you were very hungry just a little bit ago." And then you notice that they have some chocolate on their upper lip. And you say to them, "Did you eat a cookie?" And they simply look at you. And you say again, "Did you eat a cookie?" Because you have chocolate on your upper lip. How did it get there? And they say, "I don't know." "I don't know." But because they ate the cookie, now they don't want to have their dinner. And you told them that they shouldn't have the cookie first, remember? You see, God has prepared for us a good meal that's good for our soul and good for our spirit. And
ਸਾਡੇ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਲਈ ਤੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਪ੍ਰਾਣ ਦੇ ਲਈ।
But we have probably eaten dessert before we got to that meal. And that rebellion and that disobedience is called sin. And sin, God's word tells us, is what brings about death. And so Jesus Christ came to pay the price for that sin. He laid down his life so that we could have a relationship once again with God. So that we could experience a transformation inside of us. So that we would long to do the right thing. And so that that nature inside of us that causes us to do the wrong thing would be put away. So that we can have victory over sin and death. So that we can defeat the evil that tries to attack our lives. And so that we can have the faith and the joy inside in order to make it through the difficult times. And so that we can truly experience the love of God. And have the faith to live life the way that He designed for us to live it. And so, when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, there's an exchange of the old man for a new man. And there's a gift that God gives us, and that gift is called an increase of faith. In fact, when I pray with you in a few moments, we're going to pray and ask that we would receive the faith of the Son of God. And that is what Galatians 2:20 says, that we now will walk with the faith of the Son of God. Because faith is critically important in our walk in victory over the darkness. It is faith that brings about the healing in our lives. The faith of Jesus Christ working in us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And the Word of God says that by it, all that we see was created. Because the Father spoke the words. And faith was released. And the Word took action. And the framework was created for the world in which we live. And the Spirit of God hovered over that darkness. And breathed forth life into it. And so the struggles that we face today, are a result of the evil that was released when sin entered the world. And from that moment, man has continued in his rebellion against God. And although man rebels against God, God continues to express his love towards man by providing him with everything that we see. Food, drink, clothing. Somewhere to lay our heads at night. All of these things are provided by God, even though oftentimes man shakes his fist at God in anger. Blaming God for his troubles instead of looking into the mirror. But in spite of all of that anger and bitterness, in spite of what the Word refers to as enmity, that means that man has declared that God is his enemy. And you might say, but I've never declared that God is my enemy. But when we do things that God has said are injurious to us and are against His will. When we do things even that are harmful to ourselves, then we cause injury to the relationship between us and God. And this makes us guilty. Guilty of having committed sin. And when one is guilty of a crime, then one has to pay a price. And this is why God sent his son, Jesus Christ. To pay the price that we owe God. Jesus Christ came while we were still sinners and laid down his life for us. Let me be clear, God did not kill Christ on the cross. And we did not necessarily kill Christ on the cross. It was sin that put Jesus on the cross. But the word says that with joy in his heart, Jesus went to the cross so that we could experience the love of God. So that nature that wars with God could be put to death inside of us and removed. And so we could receive the gift of salvation and the gift of faith. When I was in my accident and in the process that I have had of healing, it was the gift of faith that God gave me to know that in all of this, he loved me. In fact, by sharing how God caused me to be able to come back to life four times, there is a woman in India who applied that faith to her life. My testimony. She had been told that she had a barren womb and she could not have a child. But on the night that she heard my testimony and my story about how God had brought me back from the dead four times,
ਮੇਰੀ ਗਵਾਹੀ ਸੁਣੀ ਉਹਨੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਸੁਣਿਆ ਕਿ ਪਰਮੇਸ਼ਰ ਨੇ ਕਿੱਦਾਂ ਮੈਨੂੰ
in her mind as she was talking with God. And asking him to forgive her sins and become the Lord of her life. She thought of him and said, surely this God that brought this pastor back to life four times. Is also able to put life in my womb. She applied the gift of faith. And 5 days later, she came and told Pastor Samuel, Pastor, I'm pregnant. And there's a little four-year-old boy that is running around in Punjab, India today because of faith. There was another little boy that came to one of our meetings. He had a tumor growing on the side of his neck. And as we prayed, the tumor dissolved and disappeared right in front of his mom. Just this past week, a young girl who had been troubled by an evil spirit for 3 years believed and prayed. And in that instant, she was set free. Tonight, I want to invite you to pray with me. How many of you would like to pray and ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life? Then I'm going to ask you to repeat after Pastor Samuel. And extend your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, I have heard and understood tonight that it is sin that has separated me from you. I also understand that your son, Jesus Christ, died because of that sin. And that I can ask for your forgiveness.
ਇਸੇ ਵੇਲੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮਾਫ਼ ਕਰ ਦਿਓ।
And then I can ask for your forgiveness. And that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made will pay the price for my sin. And that my old nature will be exchanged for a new nature. That I will be cleansed of all my sins. And I will be gifted the gift of faith. So, Father, please forgive me. Of all of my sin. I choose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now I want you to take your hands and place them on your head. And I want you to repeat these words after me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that all parts of me would be washed and cleansed in the blood. Of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh. And I ask that all of me be placed in clean white clothes. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I ask that any broken parts of me would accept Jesus Christ and be healed tonight.
ਇਸੇ ਵੇਲੇ ਯਿਸੂ ਨੂੰ ਅਪਣਾ ਲਵੇ ਤੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਚੰਗਾਈ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਏ।
ask that any demonic inside of me or around me,
ਹਰ ਇੱਕ ਗੰਦੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਚ ਤੇ ਆਲੇ ਦੁਆਲੇ
in whatever form they have manifested,
ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਰੂਪ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ
I ask the holy fire of the Holy Spirit to burn them up.
ਮੈਂ ਦੁਆ ਕਰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਅੱਗ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਇਹ ਗੰਦੀ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਭਸਮ ਹੋ ਜਾਏ.
Let this happen right now.
ਇਸੇ ਵੇਲੇ ਭਸਮ ਹੋ ਜਾ.
And I ask the angels of God to take the remains and cast them into the abyss. I also ask for the angels of the Most High God. To use the fire of the Holy Spirit to destroy every curse, spell, and tie mark, vow, seal, and contract. And every assignment. That has been sent against me or my family. By any demons, witches, warlocks, or any other unholy entity. And let the remains be cast into the abyss. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me up right now. And to establish a canopy of protection around me and my family. And I place upon me the armor of God. I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on my feet the preparation of the gospel. I place on my loins truth. I take up my shield of faith. And I receive the sword of the Spirit.
ਆਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤਲਵਾਰ ਨੂੰ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹਾਂ
And I now invite the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ. I receive these things now. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Now, Pastor Samuel, I'm going to pray over the people right now as I close. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh, and by the power of the Holy Blood, cross, resurrection, and ascension, I seal everything that has been done tonight to the glory of God. I ask you, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, to guide and direct each person who has made a confession of faith. And in the name of Jesus Christ, for you have said that signs will follow those who believe. And you have told us that healing is a gift from you. So I speak healing over each person tonight that has received you in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that their spirit has been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that their emotional being has been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that their mind and their thoughts have been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God, that their physical body has been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. No more pain. I speak to issues regarding hearing right now, that their ears will be opened to hear.
Yes,
I speak to the crooked neck and the pain in the neck region right now. You must go now in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be healing to their neck. I speak healing to the discs and the vertebrae in the lower back right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak clarity of thought to the areas of that have been confusion and forgetfulness. I rebuke that spirit right now and command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I come against the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord says that fear will no longer grip this community, but you will walk in boldness, you will walk in peace, you will walk in joy, you will walk in victory. Trepidation in this community. A heaviness that has rested in this place. And the Lord says, tonight I have broken it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have broken the spirit of heaviness and I have replaced it with the spirit of joy.
ਆਜ ਤੋਂ ਇਹ ਜਗਤ ਤੇ ਖੁਸ਼ੀਆਂ ਨੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਡੇਰਾ ਲਾ ਲਿਆ
And I have broken the spirit of fear, and I have replaced it with the spirit of love and with the gift of faith in the name of Jesus Christ. For the word of God says that perfect love casts out fear, and the very perfect love. And God's perfect love is represented in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has now become the Lord of your life tonight. And where Christ resides, there is no fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeshua Masih Nam K.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
I'll call you.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'll call you.
Hallelujah. Well, folks, that concludes our India service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I pray that you also received deliverance and freedom and liberty and faith. May God bless you. May God bless the people of Punjab, India, the people there, and may God bless the people here in these United States of America, that we might return to faith once again. God bless you, and have a blessed rest of your day.